Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar, just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, and joining me today is Bahir Yusuf. We're here to talk about Allied, the brand new movie by Robert Zemeckis starring Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. It is a bit of a throwback film, a kind of an old-fashioned World War II spy love thriller. I think that about sums it up.
Yeah.
If you've seen the trailer, you get the general gist of what the story is about. Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard are agents, allies, if you will. They fall in love while on a mission. They come back to London. They get married. And then suddenly, Section V tells Brad Pitt that his wife might be a German spy.
Bum, bum, bum.
And of course, any movie with Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard means that sexy spy antics ensue.
Okay.
Only to be censored by the LPF.
There were a few.
There were a few cuts, right? There were a few bits, yeah. I'm just hoping there was no dialogue in those bits. I don't think I missed anything.
I don't think so.
But every time they cut out sexy scenes in a talky movie...
It is concerning.
Yes, because we know that in talkie movies, people talk while having sex. It's not just rough and tumble, grunting and moaning.
It's the Game of Thrones sex positions problem, you know?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know how people would watch Game of Thrones on HBO here on Astro.
There's just so too much many, to be cut.
Yeah, not only that, but there's so many conversations happening during those slightly sexy, steamy scenes.
You're missing important plot points.
Yes. And other points. But there are stuff going on. It's not just sexiness.
But that being said, there's not too much to cut in this film. No. You will still have a pretty good time if you watch it in cinema, right? I think there are two major scenes that are cropped. But otherwise, otherwise it's fine.
I mean, it's Robert Zemeckis. It's safe. Yes, there are a couple of sexy scenes. But overall, it's pretty safe, right?
So we've seen two very old-fashioned movies these last couple of weeks, La La Land and Allied. I mean, when I say old-fashioned, I mean that the storytelling follows a certain formula. And I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way. I think there are suitable twists and turns, but I think the execution is where the gold is when it comes to something like Allied. And also... something like La La Land, right? Yeah. Because it's a classic movie that pays homage to some of the great Hollywood musicals, and yet there's sufficient new stuff in it to keep you interested, and it doesn't just feel like a rehash.
Yep.
And I think the same goes with Allied. I really stepped out of the cinema enjoying this film. Did you feel the same way?
No.
Ooh.
Ooh. Bum, bum, bum.
Conflict.
I didn't really like it. I felt the pacing was weird. I could not get on board with the pacing.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
I loved the pacing.
Really?
So here's the thing, right? Okay. The movie, for me, the movie opens in this absolutely brilliant way. You hear this plane in the distance, and then you hear someone like jump out of a plane or a parachute happen. And the camera kind of is focused on a desert, and it's panning down through the clouds, and you just see this parachuter sway from left to right, and you're not quite sure when he's going to land. You think he's going to land, and he's like, has he landed? Has he landed? Has he landed? Oh, there he goes.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a beautifully shot moment, and it's Brad Pitt.
And it's also very well done. I mean, it plays well with the expectation of a movie opening. So when we went to see it, when the logos came up, there was no sound.
silence.
Absolute dead silence.
I thought there was something wrong with the reel.
Everybody thought there was something wrong. I heard a few people mutter it in the cinema. But then you hear a plane in the distance. Literally, you hear a plane in the distance. And this was still when the production logos were still up. So you thought, huh, maybe are they just turning up the volume? Are they? Is there some technical issues? And then the audio pans from left to right. So then you realize, oh no, hang on, this is sound designed. And again, and then as you said, when the image comes up, you realize that it's not a technical issue. This is the way it was meant to be. And that was really cool.
For me, that pace
yeah.
set the tone, because that pace was pretty much maintained throughout the entire film. And
yeah.
this is what I thought was quite clever and why I liked it. Because normally in movies like this, when you hit the third act, the pacing speeds up.
I think normally in films like this, once you hit the second act, it speeds up.
Correct. So yeah. as you know, there's an issue happening or there's a bit of conflict yeah. or there's a question in mind.
Yeah.
Everything starts moving faster and faster and faster.
Yep.
Robert Zemeckis kind of maintains this meandering pace throughout.
Yeah.
And for me, that built a tremendous amount of tension. I mean, there's this one fantastic scene, I think, that sums it up. It's in the third act. It's just towards the end of the film. I don't think it's a spoiler as such, because it's a very throwaway scene, but the way it's shot is done very well. And Brad Pitt steps into a store, into a jewelry store, and he's about to take someone out. Now, usually how these scenes play out, if they play out in silence, is, you know, someone walks into a store and then you see light flashes
yeah.
and the sounds of gunshots, and then the person walks out because,
yeah.
you know, hey, you're an agent, you're cool, you're going to take out the guy.
Yeah.
Robert Zemeckis waits. Like, he enters yeah. the store and then he just waits and waits.
Yeah.
And that wait for me felt interminable. And I was like, what is going on?
Right,
and
right.
I think he subverts you in that way. And he does that throughout this film.
Mm.
And I think that's why I enjoyed the pacing. Why didn't you like it? Was it too slow?
It was too slow. And that scene you mentioned is a good example. So you really liked that he slowed it down. And I appreciate it, but I felt he held it for a little too long. To me, it was just like, it felt unnecessarily long. So in other sort of spy movies in that situation, you'd either do it like you said, the main character walks in, the shot holds on the facade of the shot,
you hear
flashlight, and he just walks out, right? Or you cut in. So if it was going to be a scene that long, or a pause that long rather, you cut inside, you show the dialogue, maybe they'd fight, maybe they, you know, talk it out, whatever. And then he shoots and he walks out. But in this one, as opposed to going inside to show the dialogue sequence that they're happening,
the camera stays in the car
with Marion Cotillard. So it just felt, and I agree with you, like there was a moment where I thought, okay, I understand, move on. And I felt that throughout the film. It was slow.
Oh, we have an interesting conundrum here.
You dislike
the movie the same reason why I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you like the fact that, I mean, I thought the narrative structure of the film was actually quite solid, because every act had its own mystery.
Yes.
And so for me, that was also quite, that was very good writing, because
yeah.
it didn't seem like every act was just building up to one mystery. In Act 1, when they're falling in love, there is a mystery as well. You don't know why they're in Casablanca. The movie is set in Casablanca, so it's going to draw unnecessary, undue comparisons. I mean, let's just leave that out. Like, just don't bother. Don't compare.
It crossed my mind for a split second, but I was like, this is not that movie.
This is something else completely,
this is
right?
Something else, yeah.
Just in French Morocco. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone, yeah.
But
and again, right, Marion Cotillard mentions it once, Casablanca, but the title card says French Morocco.
That's right.
You know?
I think that's intentional.
That's intentional. I think once they put that, if they put Casablanca up, people would just draw unnecessary lines. And
you can't. You can't. Yeah. See the words Casablanca anymore
without thinking of Rick's Cafe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, so the beginning of the film is set in Casablanca, and they're on a mission, and you don't know what their mission is. You don't know what their mission is until it actually happens.
Mm.
And I thought the tension of that, of them training together, of them getting to know each other, falling in love with each other, I think the tension of that was really well done.
Yeah.
The other thing I enjoyed about these mysteries is, of course, when that hint is dropped that his wife may or may not be a German spy, you don't know. So the audience knows as much as Brad Pitt's character. There is at no moment in which Robert Zemeckis gives you a little bit more information than Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And I think that as well was a very solid, old-fashioned 50s, 60s spy movie trope,
yeah.
right? You're along for the ride right up till the very end, and you don't know what's happening.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't like it. I'm sorry, you're not gonna sway me, right? I just felt it was really, for me, my biggest issue was the pacing. I've got no, like, you know, I've got no problems with the writing. In fact, for me, I found it very interesting that in the trailer you see this big fight sequence. That was the end of the first act. That's not the big battle at the end of the movie, which I was surprised about, you know. In the trailer, there's this big sort of gunfight sequence.
It's actually
at the very beginning of the film, right? So at that point, after that sequence, and they sort of make their escape, and then I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? Now what are we doing, right? We've got two acts to go. What's going on? And then at that point, I thought it went a little, dare I say, laboriously. Yeah, you know, it was sort of just Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard in London. And it was just like, what are we doing? So yeah, it was the pacing I just found really odd. I found the pacing really odd.
I thought Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard did well.
Oh, Marion Cotillard, I think this is probably the most acting she's done in a long time.
I think it is.
Yeah, she's not just the hot French woman or the hot, you know, that. She's not just that. She is playing a character, there's development, there's actual sort of range in her performance, and she did really well.
And of course, playing a character that's a spy means that she's playing multiple characters in a single role. And I've always loved it when war movies do that, because you don't know who's who. You don't know who's lying. You don't know what every sentence means.
Yeah, yeah, you're always sort of second-guessing everything. I thought Brad Pitt did a Brad Pitt job. You know, which is not a bad thing. It's Brad Pitt. You know, we all know he can act. I don't think this was one of his more rangy acting movies, but it's, you know, still a good performance from him.
Both of these characters, Marianne and Max, as played by the both of them, I think they pull it off really well. I thought the dialogue was quite tight. I thought their relationship, the banter between the two of them in the first act and the continuing banter actually throughout the film had an air of believability, especially if two strangers are being forced to pretend to be married together. Yeah.
And that was quite interesting how literally Brad Pitt's character was literally dropped into this situation at the beginning of the film. Literally dropped into the situation, right? So he walks up and then he has to immediately pretend to be married. The banter they have about his French not being from France but from Canada was quite funny. And no, their relationship really sort of blossomed, believably so, from the point of view of people who've never met but have to do this thing together. So that when they started up that relationship, there was a split second of, is she the one? Is he the one? But they sort of, as characters, they powered through it, made it look like, yeah, we're married. We've been married for so long. So that was quite interesting. I really liked the first act, the first bit of that film. I thought that would have been an interesting movie to have seen as well. But that would have been the boring spy, standard spy thriller, you know, Mr. Smith thing.
Correct, without any twist, right?
Without any twist, yeah. So, but the version of the movie that Robert Zemeckis did, with the second act being what it is an interesting way to tell that story.
I think it's been a long time since we've seen that story. This movie kind of reminded me how much I loved those old war movies. Mm. Even the romance spy movies, right? Yeah. And this is essentially it. It's a love story set in World War II with two spies. And it's the kind of throwback film that we don't often get.
It's the kind of film where the movie you're watching isn't about the war. It literally is about the two characters in that war, right?
Yeah, even the air raids in London happen in the background.
In the background, exactly. So that's not the point. The point isn't that it's World War II. It's not that, you know, Hitler, whatever. But it's about these two characters who are a part of the war, but at the same time trying to be a family, to be people, to be in a relationship.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, nitpicking aside, the reasons why I love it, the reasons why you dislike it, I think it's safe to say that Robert Zemeckis is such a competent director.
Oh, no, absolutely.
That his movies always pass a basic fundamental level.
Yes.
Right? A basic standard is passed. I mean, you can't not have a good time at a Robert Zemeckis film.
Yeah.
You may not like certain elements of it.
Yeah.
He's a lot like Steven Spielberg. He's a lot like Clint Eastwood when it comes to people who are solid, solid directors. You know what you're going to get.
It's not just that, though. Like, the three people you mentioned, the most interesting thing about them, I think, as well, is that they are the actors' directors. You know,
absolutely.
They tell their story through actors and characters as opposed to set pieces. You know, as opposed to big battles, and Spielberg's done his fair share of big battles. But they're always about the people in those battles.
Which is interesting, because that feels like the kind of thing that Gareth Edwards is striving to do. I mean, the interesting thing about, even when you watch a Steven Spielberg action movie or something with a third act battle scene, it's still always incredibly focused on the characters.
On the characters, yeah.
And Gareth Edwards, of course, who directed Rogue One and who directed Godzilla, it's interesting because he feels like he's trying to do that exact same thing. You get it in Godzilla, right? Yeah. You know, there's this huge battle happening, and he pulls the focus back down to the character level. Yeah. I mean, he's not quite there yet, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, maybe he's trying to sort of straddle those two worlds, right? For me, the scene that still sort of sticks in my mind, in Godzilla especially, is when the military troop are either entering or exiting the city in the final battle. As opposed to pulling out wide and seeing Godzilla, they pull in really close.
Correct.
You know, they pull in really close, and you literally see Godzilla's feet sort of just behind them. And not in a chase sequence. They're not directly interacting with Godzilla.
No, he's just there.
He's just there. Godzilla is just there in the background, walking, crushing buildings, and this team are just trying to get out.
And that's a great comparison to what this movie is, actually, what Allied is, because that's exactly the same thing. The war is there.
Yeah.
The war is constantly running in the background. But you've pulled in close to Hampstead, where Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard are trying to make their life together with their kid, Anna. And that's pretty much the occasional wide shots are the air raids, but that's about all you get. Yeah. Mostly it's pulling in very close onto these two individuals. And I think, Robert Zemeckis does a very good job when he's telling these character stories. But incredibly competent director, so you can't necessarily go wrong. You may be like Bahe and you may not like the pace. You may be like me and you may absolutely love the pace.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing, because that's what this movie is doing at Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's got like a 61% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
Actually, you know, we should probably make this clear to people. When Rotten Tomatoes is an interesting website, because a lot of people, when they Google something now, they get the Rotten Tomato rating.
Yeah.
But I don't think many people understand how it works.
Yeah.
Because it's an aggregator. So a 61 rating doesn't mean it's 61% good. It just means it's a highly divisive movie.
Yeah.
In that there's almost half think it's not good and half think it's good.
Yeah. And I think the other thing as well that you need to remember is it's not, Rotten Tomatoes is aggregated from respectable reviewers and websites. So it's not, you know, some guy just sort of ranting and raving on the Rotten Tomatoes website. This is sort of Rotten Tomatoes pulls in respectable critiques and critics.
Yeah, Hollywood Reporter, New York Times.
Yeah, exactly.
So, journalists from all over the world.
Yeah, so it's despite its name, it's not just a funny little website online where people just go rant and rave about a film, right?
I think what we have here with Allied is a perfect example of that, right? In that it is a very divisive movie. I think you should definitely go watch it and make that decision for yourself. If you like classic World War II spy romance thrillers, this might be your jam.
Yeah.
I do agree with Bahir, though. It is a very deliberately paced movie.
Yes.
And if you're not in the mood for a slow movie, you will not enjoy this.
Yeah, you won't. I completely agree with you. Maybe that was probably it. I probably fell for the marketing aspect of it, right? The trailer looked like it was action-packed, but the trailer was practically all from the first act of the film. So going into it, I may have not been prepared for the slow. Just as a little caveat, I love slow burn TV series especially, right? But this one just didn't feel like that for me. So the pacing felt really slow, deliberately, not accidentally. It really felt like a decision by the director and the writers for it to be paced that way. I just didn't care for it.
Allied is now in cinemas all across the country. Go check it out and let us know what you think. Do you agree with me? I'm on at Umar Fagan. Or do you agree with Bahir? Bahir, what's your Twitter address?
Bahir Y.
You've been listening to At The Movies, BFM 89.9.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.